Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live well, win well. It's on point with Wanda and Stokes on Music Talk. We are 1380 WAOK. We are continuing the conversation. We're so glad to have a special guest in with us today, sharing with us on the phone lines. We're still broadcasting remotely, but Elena Pinckney. Want to say a pleasant good morning and welcome to On Point with Wanda and Stokes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sister?
I'm doing great, my sister. Now our guest, Ms. Pinckney, she's a filmmaker and a brand architect from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's the owner of Pinckney Creative, a full-service branding agency that really creates businesses for minority entrepreneurs in various capacities. She's worked with a multitude of successful brands and companies, including Lionsgate, Warner Brothers, and many film festivals and so forth. She's very much involved. And we want to talk to you about really your encounter with former officer Derek Chauvin, which is a cop who held his knee on George Floyd's neck, your experience growing up in Minneapolis and your thoughts on the community. So I want to ask you, having been born and raised in Minneapolis, only a few streets away from where George Floyd incident took place, what can you tell us about the community and the culture of the city?
Yeah, Minneapolis is an incredible city. It's amazing. People who live there love it. However, the undertones of Minneapolis are dripping in the racism that you see being played out on the television today with what Derek Chauvin did, with hearing stories about white supremacists coming into town and creating all that havoc and having burned all those businesses in Minneapolis. When you look at the data of the businesses that were specifically burned and to kind of change the narrative from people saying that black people are burning down their own businesses in their community, it's not. You have black groceries, black pharmacies being burned, black schools being burned, and it becomes an understanding for those who are paying attention and who are awakening, because we would never do that. We would never burn that down. And there's data, there's confirmed individuals, people put in custody that tells us that it's white supremacists that are doing that. And those, unfortunately, are the undertones of Minneapolis that have us in this entire civil unrest that we're dealing with in America today.
Do you think that that some of the media is just playing a negative role in how they're painting African Americans there in Minneapolis?
I do, but I think you do have some good media that is being very careful and pointing out clear distinctions between who is out there protesting and who is out there rioting. I would say Chris Cuomo is very, very good at what he's doing when he reports on CNN to kind of let people know it's not just African Americans that are out there protesting. There are some that come for good and there are some that come for problems. I saw a video online that this brother had posted where someone had laid down a pallet of bricks right next to one of the protesting sites. Now, when would you know an African-American to be rolling around with a truck putting pallets of bricks down? Why are the bricks there? It's a setup. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that a good journalism, and I was a journalist for 8 years. I used to work for an NBC affiliate in Minneapolis. A good journalist understands there are two sides to every story, and they make sure that the scope and the lens that they put out there displays every facet of that story. And good journalists are edifying the black community and telling the truth, that it's not us that's out there destroying our world or our land. It's white supremacists, it's right wing, it's all these people, but it isn't us. We would never do that. But I know I want to challenge everybody to ask themselves how many black people.
Give that challenge again, because you're fading out just a little bit. So give that challenge again, Elena. We're talking with Elena Pinkney, and we're going to work through these technical difficulties. But she was raised and born there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she has so much insight about the culture and the community. Elena, are you still here?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. You were talking about a challenge that you issuing out. Go ahead and continue, because you faded out when you were saying it.
Okay, I'll say it again. I want to challenge every African American in the United States of America to ask themselves how many black friends they have that are actually professional arsonists. When you look at what the devastation is has been left behind in the African American communities of Minneapolis, those were not jobs done by someone who lights barbecue grills or, you know, plays with
right.
fire every once in a while. Those were professional arsonists. And it needs to be clear and understood to people that we would not burn down our own community. And what I had said prior was, yeah, okay, people mean the videos and we know. But we're not the only ones looting, and the narrative has to be shifted to show that there are people who are disrupting the peaceful business across the country that goes deeper than what happened with Derek Chauvin, and kind of lets you know that these are the undertones and the problems that have not been addressed within our history, and that's what's playing out in the world. The Derek Chauvin, that was just the bell that set it all off, but it's been deeper and burning long before the civil unrest that we're dealing with today. It's been there. The undertones have been there. The bones have been there. The looting has been there. We got this country from looting. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's a looting. So I think that the narrative has to shift, because the message is going to be lost if it doesn't.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. What would you say to peaceful protesters today who are there out there on the streets in various cities, but they see that they witness the white supremacists coming out there and doing various things? What do you say to them? What would you say to them today when they see this happening?
I honor them and say that I'm grateful that we have these soldiers that are out here charging on, even in the face of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
You get these people that say we shouldn't be afraid of them anymore. But however, we've been conditioned to be afraid of going into a place and coming out and wondering, are we going to stay alive? Are
right.
we going to get shot? Are we going to die? So you can't expect people who have experienced centuries of trauma to just automatically wake up and no longer be afraid of the KKK. But these people, our people, are standing up against all of that and still going out there and letting people know that I no longer want to accept the world that we're living in, and I am going to march arm in arm with my brothers and sisters, with white allies, with whomever is an ally for our cause, and try to do what I can do to change the narrative of the United States of America and everything it was built on.
You were saying there in Minneapolis, you know, this has been going on for a while. Right now, with protesters and African Americans standing up for the cause, what do you think is the ultimate message of the protesters there in Minneapolis?
I think the ultimate message is we're not going to come out of this situation again mm-hmm. with the same result. I mean, at the end of the day, how many marches have we done for
right.
the past 100 years? I think the message is we're tired of just marching to no end. We're tired of marching to no resolve. This time we're going to march until we get official charges and until we get a new system. Our people, this can't continue to happen anymore. To understand something, our generation, well, my generation grew up watching The Cosby Show and grew up watching, and our parents' generation grew up watching Andy Griffin and other shows. These kids nowadays, the generation that's coming behind us, they grew up watching The Purge. They grew up watching Game of Thrones. This is a whole new breed of kids that are out there marching and fighting, and that's why you get the issue of people that are there for peace and that are there to start a riot. You have a combination of people that have different values, and
that's
then you
right.
have people who who have the same value, but they're there for different reasons.
That's right. Hold tight a second. We're going to come back to you because we want to hear more about your encounter, your personal experience with this former police officer, Derek Chauvin. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're speaking with Elaina Pinkney, who's a filmmaker, and she's had her own experience with former officer Derek Chauvin, who's the cop who held his knee on George Floyd's neck. And I want you to talk to us about your personal experience that you've had with this former officer.
Okay. Well, it was actually almost 10 years ago to the day. I was with my family. We were at Lake Nokomis. Now, I want to kind of give reference to how the lake system works in Minneapolis. Minneapolis has 10,000 lakes, but this particular cluster of lakes are, or Minnesota has 10,000 lakes, but this particular cluster of lakes are separated by what we call Minnehaha Creek. Now, for reference, the further north you go in the system of lakes is where it's more predominantly African American, or it's more diverse. The further south you go is where you find lakes that are more predominantly Caucasian. Well, because I grew up south Minneapolis, I was at the South Lake. So we were at Lake Nokomis, and my nephew, who has severe autism, was playing lakeside with his cousins, and he came across a boat. On the boat were some fishing rods, and one of the things that he does with his dad on a consistent basis is go fishing. He reached into the boat to take the fishing rods, not necessarily to steal them, but he doesn't understand right from wrong. The family came running, "Are you trying to steal our fishing rods?" And my nephew started crying because he didn't know. But instead of trying to just have a conversation with him, teach him right from wrong, or say something, or even bring him to us, they called the police. The police handcuffed him, the police being Derek Chauvin, came, handcuffed him. He was about 9 years old, put him in the back of the police car, and drove him over to where we were barbecuing. He walks up to us. There's honestly two police cars for a 9-year-old boy. Let's start there. There was two police cars for a 9-year-old autistic boy. He comes up to us while we're barbecuing. We have no idea what really was going on. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Is this yours?" And he points to the back of the police car, and there's my nephew, snotty nose, eyes puffy red, crying his eyes out. And my sister says, "What's going on? What is happening? What happened?" And he says, "We caught him trying to steal some fishing rods." And I stepped in at that point, and I said, "I doubt very seriously that he was trying to steal anything, because he's severely autistic, and I doubt he knows from right from wrong. He's 9 years old. Is there a reason why you put him in the back of a police car?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to teach him a lesson so that he'll never do what he did again." And I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Is the family pressing charges?" And then that's when he started, "Did anybody ask you?" I'm talking to her, not you. "And what are you guys doing at this lake? Do you guys come here often? There's not a better lake that you can go to around here." I said, "Excuse me? We can come where we want to come, but you're not going to have my 9-year-old nephew in the back of a police car. Do you see his face? Are you looking at him?" And then at this moment, I start to look around, and I see all the other officers with their heads down. And I have to note that, because the same compliance that they had in that video of Mr. Floyd when he has his knee on his neck and no one says anything, and you have all these people in the background saying, let him up, but everybody takes cues from Derek Chauvin, it was the same incident for me. No one said anything. And I'm saying to these other police officers, "Are you not going to do anything? You're not going to let him out? He's a 9-year-old boy. Like, how could you do this?" And I said to him, I said, you're going to traumatize him for the rest of his life. Like, why would you do this?" And he says, "I'll make the decisions when I decide to let him out of the car, not you." And I said, "You know what? I want your name and your badge number, because I'm going to report you for harassment and racism." And he said, "Oh, really? If you want my name and badge number?" And he kind of puts his hands up. He says, "Come here." And he pats his chest and said, "Come a little closer. It's right here." And I said, "I'm not going anywhere near you." And he said, and he starts laughing. And he says, "That's fine." He says, "Here's my business card." He goes in his pocket and he pulls it out and he throws it at me. He says, "Why don't you fetch it?" And it just went flying to the ground. And I looked at him. I mean, I said, I pulled my phone out and I said, "I promise you, I will never forget how you made me feel. And I will never forget this day." And I took a picture of him, and I have it in my phone. It's the same guy, same picture, same everything. We went to the police department, the third precinct, the one that you saw them burn down on the news.
Uh-huh.
And we went and we spoke to the desk sergeant and we said we wanted to file a formal complaint on Derek Chauvin. She says, well, I have to actually go in the back and I have to get a, a chief of police to be able to file a formal complaint. So she goes in the back. She's gone for 10 minutes. My mother looks at me and she says in that instance, does she think we're going to leave? Is that why she hasn't come back? And I say, she probably does, but we're going to stand our ground and we're going to file this report. And so it's in that minute that she finally returns and she says to us, oh, I'm really sorry, but there's no one here to talk to that can take your report. There's no one on duty. And my mom says to her, if there's nobody back there, then what took you so long?
Mm-hmm.
And she just rolls her eyes and says, can you just write your story down on a piece of paper right here and we'll have somebody call you and get the story, the full story, you know, this week. And I said, wow, okay. So we went ahead on and wrote down all the accounts of the incident on the police report, gave it to her, and left. Days later, no one followed up with us. Nothing happened. And at this time, I was working for the United States Postal Service, and I was actually delivering the mail in the same neighborhood.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And all those businesses that they burned down. And I went on my lunch break to ask them if there was any follow-up with the situation. And the desk sergeant that was on duty at that time said, and I quote, I don't have any record of a police report. Because
wow.
They never filed it and they threw it away. But I just, you know, that's Minneapolis.
Yeah,
like that's the root of their police system. I mean, you got these, I'm sorry, I'm going to put it out there. You got these white supremacists that are driving in from cities and way out of the spectrum of where Minneapolis even is if you pull up a map. I mean, this dude lived in Oakdale. That's like living all the way in past Alpharetta and then coming in and trying to do police, you know, police a community in Riverdale or, you know, Clayton County. Like, it doesn't add up. Like, you have these people that come out of, that come from outside of a city to come in and be the police of a community that they don't care about, that they don't love, and that they don't understand. And that's why you have a system in Minneapolis that's broken and that's created by white supremacists and other people who do not care about minorities, period. And it's just, it's painful. And when I saw that video, it dug up all those wounds because it said to me, had they done their job, had they done their job when he did what he did to me and all the other people, the 18 other formal complaints that this man has had, including murders. Now, I know y'all
did your research.
This man got murders. If they had done their job, there would be no situation that we're in right now. So they have to take responsibility for the state of America that we're in today. They have to take that blood is on their hands.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they have to take responsibility.
Yeah, all these years. It's crazy.
And even your complaint didn't even get processed. And then they only have 18 complaints on file, only two closed with discipline. This is crazy. And so you're painting a great picture of how the system is broken there. The police system is broken there. When we come back, I want to ask you, what is your greatest hope for Black America and America as a whole amidst all the pain, anger, and frustration that we feel? More to come. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Baby.
Live Well, Win Well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, talking with Elena Pinckney, who's been talking with us about her experiences growing up in Minneapolis and her thoughts on the community uprising. She's a filmmaker and a brand architect from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And she was just sharing with us, really painting a picture of really the pattern, the consistent pattern of racism within the system there in Minneapolis. Reverend Miller has a question for you, Elena. Go right ahead, Reverend Miller.
Yes.
How are you doing, Mrs. Stokes?
I'm good. I'm good.
And what's your interviewer's name?
Elena Pinckney.
Elena, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to let you know I really enjoy your story, and it was very touching while I was sitting here. And one question I wanted to ask you was that first of all, it's amazing how God works, where, you know, you had to experience what you had to experience, and then it tied it with George Floyd. And that was a very tragic situation. It's a tragedy of all tragedy in American history. But I wanted to ask you this question. If you had the opportunity, if you was called upon to witness, within the court, would you testify against this, criminal cop?
Absolutely. I mean, without question.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to encourage you that to go ahead and whatever you have to do to make that known, because everybody need to know this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I said before, is that, you know, we're not anti-cop, we're anti-bad cops. And we have to make sure that these bad actors are out of the force. And as I said, Dr. Stokes, is that this is something that I have been talking about for the last matter of fact, the last couple of days, and there is a need to not only to get these bad actors out of the police department, but also to address the issue of white supremacy within our government, within law enforcement, as well as our judicial system. And until we deal with that, then therefore we're going to have this same repeat. So I want to encourage many of our young people, continue to do what you do. You got my support, full support. Young lady, you got my support. I just pray and trust that whatever you're doing, I pray that everything go well with you. But I want to encourage you to get that out there and push that. And like I said, I would like, if it's Lord's willing, I'd like to be able to perhaps maybe interview you on my podcast, Daryl and Blood Podcast. And also, Ms. Stokes, I want to say this to you before I close. I know that we all have our different ideals or beliefs, but I really believe that we have to, I would say we'd have to just kind of put that aside. And I want to see if it's possible that we all can get together and to be able to have a panel discussion. And I like to be a part of that panel discussion where we can all come together on that issue, because this is something that we definitely need to address in our community and make it known before the whole world.
Definitely. Hold tight a second, Reverend, and we'll get right back to you. Elena, I want to ask you, because you know, with the complaints against Derek Chauvin, and then some of the other officers have had complaints as well, and we're seeing this going on and on. In your opinion, do you feel that there are a lot of white supremacist groups that are infiltrating a lot of the protests that are going on throughout the country?
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen them. I went to school with some. Mm-hmm. That's without mm-hmm. question. I've known plenty of white supremacists in my lifetime, and that's an unfortunate, shameful thing for someone to say in 2020 with all the work that was done in the 60s to allegedly fix a system, but that's showing us now that it's still broken. But yeah, there are plenty of white supremacists infiltrating the system, protests, etc. It's unfortunate.
It is certainly unfortunate. What is your greatest hope for Black America?
My greatest hope for Black America is that my children, their children, can live, breathe, go to the park, bird watch, and do anything that they want to do without being in fear of losing their life. That's my hope. We all want the same things that everybody else has that they take for granted. But if you can't even go to the store and accidentally use a $20 bill, and it couldn't have been worked out with a conversation, but it had to be worked out the way that it was, you can't even go to the park and bird watch. We want the same rights that our white allies, white people have, and it's And that's all we're asking for. It's not really, honestly, a black-white issue. It's a racism issue. And people have to know the difference so that we can come together in this country and live peacefully for the rest of our lives.
You're right. Absolutely right. You're a parent, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What would you say to parents, aunts, uncles who have young black men in their life and you're trying to educate them about what's happening in society, what's going on? And what do you think the conversation should be like, in your opinion, when you're talking to young men nowadays and letting them know what's happening in society, what's going on with this race issue? What do you suggest parents should say and role models and mentors should say to younger black men?
It's unfortunate because I don't even think the conversation just extends only to younger black men. It extends mm-hmm. to black men, period. I don't have any children, but I've had to have a conversation with my husband to tell him that when you go out, you have to look you look both ways when you're crossing the street. You have to look both ways just to be black in America. And that it's important to inform ourselves on history so that we can know where we came from, so that we have a better chance of to know where we're going forward. I would just encourage all parents, all wives, all people in general who have a black male, a black daughter, a black anyone in their life to just stop, take a breath, remember where we came from, and create a clear, precise plan for where we want to go. Right now, we're in a world where we need to identify our Malcolm, our Martin of this generation, someone to be a voice and lead us to a peaceful resolution with the situation that we're in. But it starts with informing our babies, informing our loved ones on the history of this country and everything that has happened to us, and then also creating the conversation of how we want this country to go going forward. You can't just educate people on the past and not create a communication chain of what we want for the future. Right now, I feel, unfortunately, that although we are out, you know, protesting and marching, do we all collectively have a plan for what treaty, let's say, for instance, what treaty we want to say, this is what we want. These are our list of demands for how we want the world to go after all of the rioting and the protesting is over. Until we have a clear plan, I don't know if this will change, because just marching and protesting until he gets convicted or until they pull the other three cops in is not going to work. But what's going to work is doing what our alleged forefathers did, coming up with a declaration. We need to have our own declaration of what we want to see happen in America. And that's the conversation that I want us to have with ourselves, with our children, with our husbands. We have the attention of the world, and we need to sit down with our peers and say, we need to lay our plans down. We need to tell them what we want and what we deserve, which is human rights and equality. And that needs to be clear in the conversation going forward. When people ask you, what are we rioting for? What are we fighting for?
That is so well said. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I know that this incident has just brought up so many memories and dealing with all of the discomfort and disturbance and turbulence that is happening in the community and in the land at the hands of those who are white racists and those who are involved in white supremacy. So thank you so much. How can people follow you and stay connected to you on IG?
Alaina Pinkney, Alaina Pinkney, Pinkney. And then my business is Pinkney Creative, Pinkney Creative. That's how you can find me on Instagram.
Thank you so much, and more power to you. And we're praying for you and all of the residents there, our brothers and sisters there in Minneapolis. Have a great one. Thanks a bunch.
You too. Thank you.
All right. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. More to come on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.